With that, I'd like to call the Monday, July 27th, 2020 regular meeting of the Alliance Regional Water Authority Board of Directors to order. Graham, if you would do a roll call, please.
I will. I'll mention that several people have noted they may be a few minutes late. So, Mayor Houston, I've not seen her yet. All right, Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Here.
Mr. Neffendorf?
I timed that perfect. I'm here.
Good job. Councilmember Rockymore?
Present and accounted for.
Mr. Ramos?
Here.
Mr. Earp?
Here.
Mr. Taggart?
Here.
Mr. Betts?
Here.
Councilmember Scheel, she noted she may be a few minutes late. Mr. Clack?
Here.
All right, Mr. Allen?
Here.
All right, and then we've got the one vacancy for San Marcos. So, we do have a quorum.
All right, thank you, Graham. And if everyone's okay, we did this last time. It seemed to work pretty well. With regards to voting, if you want to vote no or abstain on an item, please make sure you make it known. Otherwise, we'll assume that all votes are yes and unanimous. So, again, if you want to vote no or abstain, please make it known. A reminder about mute unless you're speaking. And since we're via phone and can't see each other very well, if you need me to speed up or slow down or anything else, please feel free to interrupt or just let me know. So with that, moving on to item C, public comment period. Graham, do we have anyone listing one?
We do not. I did not receive an email from anybody wishing to speak. I did not receive an email from anybody wishing to speak.
All right. Thank you. And with that, we'll move on to item D, the consent agenda.
Mike Taylor, I move to approve it as presented.
Well, I guess everyone else is shy, so I'll second it, James Earp.
Well, thank you very much. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye. I'm sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Moving on to item E, public hearings presentations. We have none.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I want to note.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to note for the record that Ms. Houston joined, I believe, before the vote on the consent agenda. So I just want to note that.
Thank you.
Yes, I did.
Welcome, and thank you very much. All right. On to item F, items for discussion not requiring action. And as we have been doing the past couple meetings, and since these items are discussed at the technical committee, unless anyone would like to discuss any one or more of these items in Section F, we will continue to the other items on the agenda. Okay. Moving on to item G, Executive Director and Legal Counsel reports.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few items to report here. I'm going to scroll to this page as I speak here. Public relations-wise, I'm happy to report that we've had a good kickoff meeting on our public relations activities with CDNP. They're getting us a list of updates they want to do, the website. I believe they're going to get those accomplished this week. We've worked through some preliminary goals for things we want to achieve. And our next step is to send out a questionnaire to you, the board members, get your feedback on what you'd like to see on some public relations activities, what you viewed as how things have been done in the past, what you'd like to see prioritized moving forward in some of those actions. We expect to get that out this week. And then some of those goals, once we get that feedback, we can finalize and bring that back for discussion at the board. I've talked with CDMP about doing quarterly updates to the board rather than monthly. That way we can give you updates as to their activities and what they're up to. Of course, you can always reach out if you've got specific questions to me, and I can give you those updates as we go. But otherwise, I'm very happy with getting them on board, and they're jumping right in and making good suggestions. We've transferred over not only the website but also the social media to them so that they can begin getting their hands around all that information. So we've started a good transition there and look forward to ramping up here in the next couple of months. That's really all I have under this item. I'm happy to answer any questions related to that or anything else.
Yeah, and Mike Gershon, same here, although perhaps Graham and I should share with you that we received a couple of Public Information Act requests from a media outlet that some of y'all are familiar with, the Texas Observer. They have a reporter that is doing research statewide, apparently, on eminent domain by government entities. And our firm has received, we have a number of clients that have received similar Public Information Act requests. Fortunately, his focus in his research has been on calendar year 2018, I believe, if I got that right, Graham.
That is correct.
Yeah, and so hopefully the alliance won't be the headline of his story, and they can focus on LCRA or one of the other pipeline companies. But just wanted to bring that to the board's attention that at some point the Texas Observer is going to produce a piece on the practice of and the use of eminent domain to condemn pipeline easements, and fortunately. Just given the timing of that research, we probably won't be in the forefront of that piece, but we could be mentioned. Otherwise, nothing to report, but I also stand for questions.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Graham. Moving on to item H, items for action or discussion or direction. Item H1, consider adoption of Resolution 2020072701, declaring the Phase 1A Segment B pipeline construction project more than 50% complete and progressing satisfactorily.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our front-end documents, the construction documents with Smith Contracting Company, there is a requirement from the Texas Water Development Board that we would hold 10% for retainage of their construction monthly payouts until we reach 50% of the project. And then if the board approves a resolution, we can start not withholding any additional money until the end of the project. So basically that ramps back down to a total of a 5% retainage. I'm happy to report that the project is moving along quite well, actually ahead of schedule. And by linear feet as well as expenditures were more than 50% there. And so staff and the design consultant, LEN, are recommending that the board approve this resolution, which will allow us to no longer retain additional funds from Smith Contracting. So we'll still have what we've retained to date, which is a little bit more than 10% of the contract amount to date, but we will not retain any further until completion of the project. I'm happy to answer any questions. Again, this is the way this is written is a requirement of our Texas Water Development Board loans to have this language in the agreement. And so we're just following the standards that they've required.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Taylor, I move that we approve the resolution as presented.
Second, Houston is seconding.
Thank you all very much. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? These ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item H2, update, discussion, and possible direction to staff regarding the authorities' Phase 1B program cost estimates and schedules.
Great. Ryan So is going to lead us through this effort, and so I'm going to ask that he pull up the presentation and lead it on his end. We went through this with the technical committee 2.5 weeks ago. There's a lot of information here giving you updates on where we're at on costs and some of our steps moving forward. So it looks like Ryan's got up on screen, so I'll let him take over from here.
Thank you, Graham. Afternoon, everyone. So last month, we did a partial update with regards to budget status and went through some projected construction costs for several projects and gave you a status of where the projected costs stand versus where we had them standing maybe back when we set the original baseline budget about 18 months ago. So we said we'd come back and give a more comprehensive budget update. As Graham just mentioned, this was discussed and presented to the technical committee now just a couple weeks ago. And so certainly as I'm going along in this, feel free to interrupt with any questions you have and we'll jump right into things. So very quickly, as far as general agenda for the presentation, going to recap the budgeting process to date and key developments that have occurred along the way, then get into the current projected status of the budget, and then talk a little bit about next steps. One key thing to keep in mind about all of this, of course, the lion's share of projected cost to this program is the construction cost. And obviously, we really only have one project out right now into construction, the well drilling. So still a long ways to go. So bear that in mind. A lot of where we stand right now is still largely based on just projecting. So very briefly, recapping the budgeting process. Back in early 2019, we had gone through the effort of developing the preliminary engineering report for the program and had set baseline budgets at that point. The major cost items included in that, the projected construction cost, was a combination of program developed projections as well as consultant projections for those consultants that were already signed up and actively performing design on some of those Phase 1B projects. Then the support services, your land acquisition, your engineering, et cetera, those projections were developed by the program at this point. And then last thing I'll mention, of course, a good portion of this infrastructure is to be shared with GBRA. That comprises the combined program infrastructure. And so we also went through and projected out the split in the cost based on allocated capacity in the case of construction. But per the agreement between Alliance and GBRA for the combined program infrastructure, all support services are based on a 50-50 split. So more on all these things as we go through the slides here. So since early 2019, big picture wise, of course, we're talking 18 months along. Design has progressed. For most projects, we're through 30% and approaching 60%. For a couple of the projects, we have actually already seen 60% submittals, and they're actively moving towards 90%. So as those consultants are furthering their designs, they're providing us with updated cost projections for construction. And then one other thing I'd mention is for the facilities in particular, the pump station, the water treatment plant, there's been a deliberate value engineering effort by those consultants as well to try to find areas where their initial designs can be reduced and simplified in scope to hopefully reduce projected cost. And then, of course, last fall and winter, we went through the process with the technical committee and the board over the course of a few months of looking at areas where we can potentially reduce cost further. So more on that here momentarily. So starting with the sources of those projected costs, you see them here. I won't get into all the details of everything here. Like I said earlier, by and large, we're through 30% design for nearly every project. Some at this point have submitted 60% designs and are well beyond that. And then we even have one project that is about to start construction, as I said earlier, the well field. So various projects at various stages, but all advanced to define the projected costs further. So going back to that cost reduction measures process last fall and winter, you may remember this slide from that discussion, just showing when we went through the baseline budgeting process back in early 19, where we showed a deficit in the potential deficit in the funding, because as shown here, the current SWIFT funding at the time was about $213 million. Whereas the baseline budget as developed by the program and the consultants was somewhere between $250 million and $315 million, hence showing a potential deficit between those two. So that information there basically comprising the potential gap in funding based on those projections back in early 2019. So we went through a process with the technical committee and the board of looking at some areas where costs can potentially be reduced. And the list you see here is what was developed and ultimately approved by the board at that point. These several items you see here. Some of these are still a work in progress. We still have more evaluation to be done on our end, and we will eventually be able to come back to you probably in the next update or one or two beyond now to give you an update on those. For today's update, going to very briefly touch on where the projections stand on the three items noted there with the yellow arrows. Starting with item 2A, so this was the reduction in peaking factor for the proposed segment A pipeline. The peaking factor meaning the amount of additional capacity in the pipeline for peak events, peak demand events in the system, lowering that from 1.5 down to 1.3. So what you see here in the table below on the left, what you see is where the cost projection stood at 30% design, roughly just over $37 million. And within that, there's two elements to this. Of course, first goal or first cost impact would be, in theory, we reduce the peaking factor down, we reduce the size, the diameter of the pipeline for segment A. So there would be some potential savings in reducing by a pipeline diameter. But secondly, segment A is shared infrastructure between Alliance and GBRA. So when the required capacity for Alliance reduces, that means the allocated share of capacity reduces for Alliance and increases for GBRA. So that also causes a shift in the cost that each entity would take on, would bear. So what you see at 30% design is roughly $37.4 million projected. The 60% design update provided by the consultant now a couple months ago was about $5 million less, $32.4 million. So the overall cost reduced, but then also for Alliance, the allocated share that Alliance would be responsible for sharing in the capacity and in the cost of for construction reduced from 60% to 57% roughly. So all in all, it's a projected Alliance savings of $3.4 million based on that. I realize that doesn't work out with the math and the two yellow highlighted cells. I'll explain that in a couple of slides. Moving on to the two facilities, the water treatment plant and booster pump station, peaking factors for phase 1B were reduced from 1.5 down to 1.0, effectively to have no peaking factor over the standard projected demand for phase 1B, but potentially to be added in future phases. So once again, going through that same exercise we just did a moment ago, you see the projected cost of the water treatment plant from 30% to 60%, but then also you see the swing and allocated percentage from Alliance back before the cost reduction measures were in place and after, a reduction from 53.5% of the capacity down to 45% of the shared capacity for that water treatment plant with GBRA, which results, as you see there, in a net of roughly $5 million in savings based on that, based on current projections. And then for the booster pump station, same story. The projected share of capacity did not reduce significantly. Of course, for the facilities, we're talking about every single component within each of these facilities, the pumps, the treatment equipment, all of these different things, and hashing out what makes sense to be sized only for phase 1B versus what things need to be sized for future phases. So these percentages are likely going to continue to change all the way through the end of design because the design engineers are looking at the capacities of individual components versus a single pipeline like we talked about on the prior slide. So, but as it stands right now, the overall projected savings of just over $6 million. The last one I'll touch on is the valve spacing revision. You'll recall we had a discussion about the original design standards the program put together, identified that isolation valves would be put on the pipelines, the roughly 75, 80 miles of pipelines every 5,000 feet, or just about every mile roughly. Going through that reduction measures process last fall, we amended the valve spacing from that every 5,000 feet to every 13,000 feet with the caveat of making sure that valves are placed in strategically important locations such as major waterway crossings on both sides, major highway crossings on both sides, and of course factoring in accessibility to the folks who will be operating the system ultimately. So what came out of that process in coordination with those various consultants is a reduction from roughly 117 valves in the original initial designs down to 50 for the revised, the current design. So an overall reduction in valves by about 67. Costing that out at an average of $75,000 projected. Of course, these pipelines have different pipe diameters, so that's why we're just applying an average cost here to kind of account for the various diameters. Shows a projected Alliance savings of about $3.5 million. So going back to our two slides ago to our savings for segment A, didn't want to double dip and also account for this valve reduction savings in that number, so that's why the math didn't add up exactly there. In summary, for those three items, 2A, 2B, and 7, coming out of that cost reduction measures process, you see the current projection versus what was projected back in the fall and winter of 2019. So generally speaking, a little bit of variation, but in sum, it appears we're generally on track with where we anticipated in terms of projected savings. Moving on to the actual budget update, I'm going to very briefly touch on explaining the various costs that make up the total cost of a project. I'm going to give an update with regards to the combined program infrastructure and what the projected percentage shares look like for going back to early 2019 versus current status. And then lastly, get into the current budget status based on all these updated cost projections. So starting with overall program costs, for a given project, there's, of course, the lion's share of the projected cost is in construction. Then there's the land acquisition component, not only the purchase of the easements or the property, but also the support associated with that effort, the right-of-way agents, the legal support, the appraisals, et cetera. Support services comprising the engineering effort, survey, environmental, inspection, and various other items. And then the items that fall into the other category, such as extending electrical service to the site, such as, of course, the coordination with GVC and associated cost of getting power out to the water treatment plant property. And then lastly, for each of these, of course, there are contingencies projected and set aside for these various items. Looking at this in a breakdown form, just to give you a little bit of an example, you know, that's everything we just spoke about on the prior slide, just shown to you broken out for a given project. So between the construction, which as you see there, as I said, comprises the majority of the cost for nearly every project, and then all of those various support services and acquisition, and then contingencies. So moving over to the combined program, the infrastructure that Alliance and GBRA will share, as I said earlier, the support services and land acquisition per the contract agreement between Alliance and GBRA, it's a 50-50 split of those efforts, the cost associated with those efforts. Construction, distribution of cost, as I said, is based on each entity's capacity share of a given component. So the original percentages were projected based on the data we had at the time as we were putting together the combined program engineering report back in 2018 and early 2019. So these percentages have been updated based on, of course, some of the examples we just went through on the cost-saving measures, but also any other changes that have occurred into the sizing of a given infrastructure component. So using the example below, which we touched on earlier, pipeline segment A, you can see the Alliance share of the capacity at a 1.5 peaking factor. That first row there is 22,500. Of course, when the board approved reducing the peaking factor in that pipeline, that share of capacity then drops down to 19,500, which then results in those change percentages you see there to the right. So looking at this overall, you have each component of the combined program there in the left column. The middle two columns are the original projected percentages back in early 2019, and then the two right columns being the updated percentages for Alliance and GBRA. Those that have changed, of course, are shown in italics. So water treatment plants, you know, given that the peaking factor reduced so significantly from 1.5 to 1.0, reflected in a pretty significant swing in those percentages. Pump station construction, as it stands right now, a mild reduction compared to the water treatment plant based on that. Will state, though, both of those facilities, we are continuing to coordinate with those consultants. This is based on the current status of their projections, but they are actively addressing comments on this, so this will be updated again soon. And as I said before, will be updated throughout the life of design. And then other impacts are also shown there. We talked about Pipeline A. Pipeline segment B2 shifted upward for Alliance, and that was primarily driven by the additional capacity that needed to be allotted in order to deliver to the San Marcos water treatment plant at that location. So aside from that, mostly minor changes otherwise. But in sum, of course, I already mentioned land acquisition, engineering support is all 50-50. That doesn't change. In sum, the net change as it stands right now shows a decrease for Alliance by about 2 percentage points of the combined program infrastructure. Any questions on that? Okay. So the next slide is the full budget update. So a lot of information on the next slide. I'll take you through. So over to the left, you have the various projects that make up the Alliance Phase 1B program. So you have Alliance's share of the combined program, the first several projects shown, and then you have the infrastructure that Alliance is not sharing with GBRA, the Alliance-only infrastructure listed out below that. So the column then, second from the left, is the original projection from the PER, from the baseline budget from early 2019, the revised shown just to the right of that, second from the right, and the difference project to project shown over in the far right column. So combined program share for Alliance has, as projected right now, has increased a bit, whereas the Alliance-only portion shown in the second subtotal down towards the bottom has increased roughly by about 18 million as it stands right now. So all in all, of course, the goal here has been to bring costs down. Not the news we were hoping to see as we put all of this together. There have been several of these projects that we've been, of course, actively working with to figure out additional ways to reduce costs. These are all largely based on the projected construction costs right now, so we still have a ways to go in design, so there's a lot of focus on trying to figure out what are the other opportunities to bring this down as it stands right now. Contingencies have gone down, as you can see towards the bottom, from about 66 million to 59 million, and that's largely based on, as the design consultants are furthering in design, their contingencies on their projected construction cost are reducing. So that's reflected in the delta you see there. That's a lot of information. I'll pause for a moment, and the next few slides talk about some of these projects on an individual basis, and then also, of course, getting into what lies ahead, what are our next steps to try to see what we can do to get heading back in the right direction. Starting with the water treatment plant, that has been the project that's seen the largest increase in projected cost, as identified on the slide up at the top, about $16 million increase in terms of total projected construction cost. So despite Alliance, of course, reducing its share, reducing its peaking factor, that's why there's still an increase for Alliance and, of course, for GBRA in terms of that projected cost as it stands right now. We now, about a month and a half ago, provided 60% comments back to the design consultant. There was quite a bit in those comments that was focused on cost reduction. So our expectation is that we should see those numbers continue to come down in some areas and hopefully keep heading in that direction, and charging the consultant with just seeing what other opportunities are there for us to you know, reduce the scope of work and hopefully reduce projected potential costs. The booster pump station, a mild increase in terms of projected construction costs, but bear in mind, of course, the Alliance peaking factor reduced. We did go through a value engineering effort, so the hope was that we'd see more of a reduction than we did. As I mentioned before, they're continuing to evaluate the split and all of the different components of the pump station facility between Alliance and GBRA. So there's still more work to be done there. We are actually this week receiving the 60% submittal from them. So obviously finding areas to continue to reduce cost and reduce scope where feasible are going to be a major focus of that upcoming review. Pipeline segment A, you can see a projected construction cost decrease at this stage of about $5 million in terms of savings. Of course, touched on all of that going back to some of the first slides that I went through. And obviously a big determinant in that has been that reduction in the Alliance peaking factor, which reduced the size of the pipe, but also reduced the share of Alliance's respective share of pipeline segment A to be shared with GBRA. Pipeline segment B, on the other hand, we saw a pretty significant projected increase in construction cost on the order of $7 million. Segment B2, there was a pipe size increase. I mentioned a couple slides ago the additional amount of capacity required for this pipeline segment over to the water treatment plant, San Marcos Water Treatment Plant, so that certainly had an impact. But one of the other items is that we're seeing, you know, amongst the consultants, and because we do have five different pipeline segments, is some discrepancy in terms of the projected pipeline cost per linear foot from one consultant versus another. So another thing that we're focusing on here as we're getting further along in design is, you know, if we are seeing those significant discrepancies in terms of what one consultant's projecting versus another, why? As we just went through the 60% design review with this consultant for segment B1, they identified that there were reasons why their projected cost for the linear footage of pipe went up, possibly being a bit overly conservative in terms of pricing out the most expensive of the three allowed pipe materials. So we did give them direction that, you know, we certainly don't want you to be the low bidder. We want you to be conservative, but we want you to be reasonably conservative. So that's something they'll be looking at as they progress to the next design submittal. The other thing I'll touch on for segment B is the State Highway 130 crossing from the initial analysis to now has changed a bit. They have recently, I guess within the last couple of years, put in some additional structural walls out there that extend significantly deeper than was originally identified by the consultant based on the information TxDOT gave them. So this crossing has had to increase in its depth and complexity, which has also affected the projected cost a bit. The inline elevated storage tank, we're now moving into Alliance only projects. The inline elevated storage tank to the north, this would be the one on segment C. Projected cost, the consultant shows an increase of plus or minus $2 million, but I will stress they're only in 30% design right now. So certainly something we're paying attention to as they're developing their 30% design and seeing if there's opportunities to get that back down to what it was and hopefully lower if possible. Raw water infrastructure, the pipings, pumps, and associated infrastructure for the well field, the projected cost, as you've seen there, has shown to increase by about $4 million as it stands right now. Seems to be largely tied up in the projected cost for the electrical and instrumentation. Similar to the water treatment plant, we went through 60% design and had a lot of cost-related comments on their plans and specifications. So certainly the hope is that we'll see, based on those comments, these numbers come down a bit. Pipeline segment C, their projected cost has increased as it stands right now at 30% by about $5 million. And a lot of that has just been driven by additional trenchless construction that wasn't anticipated in the initial conceptual design the consultant performed. So something we're going to continue to work with them on to see if there's opportunities to reduce some of that wherever feasible. And then lastly, pipeline segment E had the most significant cost, projected cost increase, as shown here, about $7 million roughly. There was about a half mile of additional length added as the consultant went through further into their 30% design from the initial conceptual design. And so that additional length, in order to navigate an alignment that was more feasible, resulted in some projected increased cost. But so did the Lake Dunlap crossing, the projected cost associated with that based on the methods they're assuming for right now, appears to comprise the majority of this projected increase. So they still have additional geotechnical work, groundwater monitoring work to be done there at the lake crossing. We're actively talking to them about, you know, making sure we're keeping our options open for this crossing so that we're not getting tied in or tied down with limited methods that, you know, will result in less favorable bidding conditions for the crossing. So, so all in all, as I said, you know, we've got plenty of work ahead of us in continuing to work with the consultants on their projected costs for construction. Very briefly, I'll touch on land acquisition. No significant deviation so far from what was projected back in the initial program budgeting. In terms of the appraisals we're seeing and offering and agreements to date, appear to largely align with what was initially projected. But one concern that I would identify is, you know, we do see potential for greater number of acquisitions through eminent domain than originally anticipated. Obviously, when you go through the eminent domain process, in terms of the support services, the involvement of legal, it gets a lot more complex and therefore there's greater cost in that. So that's something that as we look ahead, we are concerned that, you know, as it stands right now, appears we might be projecting higher than originally anticipated. And then lastly, support services, no significant concerns overall at this point. You know, some design contracts in terms of what was budgeted, you know, may be trending slightly over, but there are equal as many that are trending under. So for the moment, for the time being, no significant concerns overall. So in summary, you know, obviously, as I've said, you know, the hope was after the many efforts up to this point, we'd see numbers trending in the other direction as opposed to continuing to trend upward based on the current projections. As I said, the majority of this is tied up in projected construction costs, so that is where the majority of our focus is going to continue to be. A few things that I mentioned that are being looked at as part of this process. Once again, I mentioned earlier just the comparison of the projections, particularly among the pipeline consultants, and making sure that there's a reasonable level of consistency in terms of how they're projecting and making sure it's an apples-to-apples approach when it should be. In addition to that, the construction management team, as mentioned here, of course, they've just been on board now for a couple of months. They've only reviewed now the water treatment plant, segment A, but also now segment B1 as well here just in the last couple of weeks. So they're just getting involved in the process. A lot of their comments to date for those projects have been cost-focused. So certainly coming at it from a constructability standpoint, you know, we're seeing that there's a benefit there in the input they're providing and, you know, should benefit the future projects as they're being reviewed as well. Last thing I'll touch on, and then be happy to open up for any questions. Again, of course, given the last handful of months, the economy and the state of things has certainly changed. Too early to say what that means for the construction market, and we're still 5-6 months away from our next project going out for proposals for bid. So, you know, what I can say is, you know, we have seen that bidding, and at least in some cases, appears to be getting more competitive right now, but it's definitely too early to tell definitively until we see more bids of similar infrastructure take place over the coming months. And that's obviously something we'll be focusing on as well. With that, I'll be glad to take any questions.
Maybe just before we open up to questions, this is Graham. I'd like to just weigh in a minute. First of all, we presented this to the technical committee, and as I'm sure the board has, you know, many questions, the technical committee did too, and I think it's fair to say a lot of concerns with the cost and where they're at, and I think that's more than fair. As I told the technical committee, it's a great concern to myself and Ryan, and that's one of the first things we look at. I know when we get in submittals, just go into those cost estimates and taking a look. One thing I wanted to commit to this group and to the technical committee that we would do, right now we're scheduled to make quarterly updates on our budget projections to you. And so the next one would come in September. This is kind of a little bit odd duck to do it this month, but we come back to you in September. I'm proposing that we come back every month and update the technical committee as we get new submittals in here over the next 3 to 4 months. We're scheduled to get in a lot of submittals of 60%, 90% for the various design components to give an update on each of those versus what was previously budgeted and what we're seeing now as the cost projection based on those new submittals. So we can track that as we go, in addition to the more robust quarterly updates that we'll provide, so that we can track this in real time as we go. So I just wanted to pass that along and let you know that's what we'll be doing month by month, and then now open it up for any questions that you may have.
This is Tom Taggart. I guess I did have one question in relation to how this kind of gap would play into the Water Development Board's SWIFT funding process.
Sure. We did request additional funding from the SWIFT, and they've approved that. We'll talk about that in an upcoming item here, of $65 million, of which we're taking down a portion of that this year. And then, if necessary, we can take down the remaining portion of that next year. So we think we're covered in terms of the Water Development Board providing the amount that would be necessary for the projects.
All right. No other questions.
I did have one other question, if I might ask Ryan one question. In relation to this, if we can go back to the gap slide. And in relation to the 30% contingency, is that for the revised costs, is that increasing the contingency amount by that same proportion as the increased estimate?
The contingency for the projected construction cost is relative to the updated numbers we're receiving, Tom, but
right.
Then as the consultant is furthering their design, you know, what was back at, you know, at the planning level, 30% on top of the cost projection, you know, now for those who are submitting 60% design, for instance, it's a 15% contingency on construction. So as they're furthering along in design, the percentage is decreasing, but of course, if the projected number is going up, such as say in the case of the water treatment plant, you know, it's still a larger, or it still may not result in that significant of a decrease in contingency if it's based on that larger projected base number, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
So if we, this is Blake, if we go beyond, we have $65 million that we went back for additional in SWIFT. If we need to go back for even more, is the board open to that, or how does that work?
Yeah, if we based on updated numbers, if we determine that one option is to seek additional financing, then we could petition in the next SWIFT window to increase that further. And that window opens in December of every year with the abridged SWIFT application and closes, I believe it's the first week in February. So that's the time we would need to make that request and then go through the financial application process next spring for potential approval in the summer. We could, and again, if that's a direction that's chosen, the additional funding option, then another option, of course, would be private funding, which wouldn't have that same limitation on time cycle. It could be done at kind of any time as we identified how much would be needed and when we want to go forward with that. So the SWIFT is the most limiting from a time perspective.
Right. As far as, I know we've talked about land acquisitions and property acquisitions and easements, and then as far as consolidating projects for a more favorable bid, are we still lining up on schedule as far as that goes to be able to consolidate those projects?
Yeah, Blake, this is Ryan.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Go ahead, Graham.
I'll let you take it.
Okay. Yeah, with regards to schedule, I would say we are still in a, you know, that's certainly been the goal, is to stay in position to where for, especially for those initial projects out of the gate, the treatment plant, the first couple pipeline segments, the goal has been to stay, keep schedule within a, you know, a very short duration from one to another so that we have that flexibility. And that's something we should be coming back to discuss in more detail in the next 1 to 2 months. So yes, the flexibility is there. Obviously, land acquisition, you mentioned also for the pipelines, that's probably the most schedule critical item at this point. I don't think that surprised anybody. I've said that quite a bit. So as it stands right now, that's definitely the expectation. But no question, you know, there's plenty of active concern with regards to making sure that we can meet the expectation schedule-wise for land acquisition. So each segment has its own set of challenges in that regard.
I guess, Chairman, if I could ask one more question. Go ahead, Tom.
I'll defer to my colleague there that I spoke first.
No. If you had a follow-up, go ahead. Mine was going to be a completely different one.
Well, actually, I was going to ask about, I think when we did the analysis on headroom that the lower interest rate provided from the SWIFT funding, and that gave us, I think, about an additional $18 million in bonding capacity, if I remember that correctly. From the original amounts that we had, indicated. This $101 million here that's shown as the gap with contingency, is that inclusive of this $18 million or not addressing that?
The $18 million is not factored into that $101 million gap.
So the actual gap
is, effectively reduces.
Right. The actual gap is less than that.
That's correct.
All right, Mr. Chair, I got one more question, if you don't mind.
Please.
So on the original estimate of that we went out for, I guess So when was that done, when we decided on $213 million, just to kind of give me some background since I'm a little bit newer?
That original, this is Graham, I can answer that better than Ryan, I think you can. The original $213 million was developed in the 2014-2015 timeframe.
Okay, and was that anticipated for about this time frame as far as construction went? Was that factored in, or were we anticipating sooner?
No, it was the schedule has been roughly matching what was anticipated.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. It's very thorough.
Sure. Thank you.
Graham, the data point. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Brian Graham Wright. A question I have: what, when you know, as you look at some of the 60% designs, what do y'all feel most optimistic about in terms of making up some of the costs? Is there, what's the good news? Is it too early to tell, or do you have a gut feeling about, well, we think we can gain a lot of ground on this component or that component?
This is Graham. I'll say from my perspective, there's a couple of different items, and it varies kind of project to project because they're being done by different consultants, so they have a little bit different methodologies. But in a couple of cases, I think we see very conservative cost estimating and the way that they are building their budget and the way that they are stacking some of the contingencies together within those budgets, which you know, leads me to some optimism that the numbers are not very very accurate and will come down significantly when the bids come. The other item that I'd say we see is we're continuing to look at some components of our standard design that are driving depth of the pipeline and seeing if we can't shrink those. Obviously, a shallower pipeline can be installed more quickly, and therefore the contractor spends more money. Now, we want to maintain our minimum 5 feet of cover. We're not suggesting to limit that. But trying to find those areas where we can optimize that depth that will further save us some costs and save on the component costs as well. I think there's lots of small items within each design that then bundled together lead to some significant money because it is an 85-mile pipeline project. So I think there's a number of areas that I feel relatively optimistic about. Of course, I don't think any of us will feel good till we go out to bids and see what the numbers come back at. So it's all projected costs at this point in time until we get real numbers back.
And so you don't, it's not necessarily cost-related comments that are going to, I guess, hinder the project too much in terms of functionality. It's not going to, I don't use the word gut the project, but it's not going to, just in an effort to save costs, get a lesser product than we're all hoping for. It's, you know, mainly savings, like you said, minimizing depth and things like that don't necessarily affect functionality.
Yeah, the way we've discussed it, and the pipelines are a little bit more straightforward. At the treatment plants, there's more things to look at, right? And so in a booster station. So we're trying not to hamper any of the functionality of what we need to operate the system, what we need in order to make it fully functional, deliver the water at the volumes that are required. But there are still some things, for instance, within the water treatment plant. We had roads going to all areas of the plant for which expansion may not happen for a number of years. And so it doesn't make sense to put in all of those access roads at this point in time. That could be deferred until a later phase. So there are some other components that can be deferred and those costs put off that don't need to be put into this project that won't hamper any of our functionality now. They'll be great to have them in the future when they're needed. So just trying to make those divisions and make the right calls on those various components.
Understood. Thank you, Graham. Appreciate it.
All right. We have any more questions on this? All right. Well, thank you very much, Ryan, Graham. with that, let's move on to item H3, consider adoption of resolution 2020072700002, approving work order number 2 with Tate Dawson Engineering Incorporated for construction management and inspection services related to the Phase 1B program.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this builds right off of one of Ryan's last slides, and that we want to continue to have Tate Dawson as our construction management inspection group to give us their reviews of the upcoming submittals and get their feedback on them. And so we started with work order 1, and it covered our 60% for the water treatment plant, segment A and segment B pipelines. We want to move forward with another work order that covers the 90% submittals on our segment A and water treatment plant, as well as the 60% submittals on the segment B and booster pump station. We've also added a component in there for them to start the development of the construction management plan, for them to give us more details about how they and our program team and the designers will interact during construction, how the paperwork flow will work, and some of those issues. And so we want to get that developed to a 50% level, so that's included within this work authorization. They follow the same hourly rates that were approved in the initial contract. It is on a time and material basis with a fee not to exceed $189,790. And I'd be happy to answer any questions related to the work order.
This is Mr. Ramos. I move to approve work order number 2.
Mike Taylor, second.
All right. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please. Thank you. All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Moving on to item H4, update, discussion, and possible direction to staff regarding the authority's request to the Texas Water Development Board for additional SWIFT funding.
Well, we touched on this briefly under item H2. We did submit an application earlier this year for additional funding. We went through the financial application process this spring and early summer. Last week, the Texas Water Development Board did approve that application to move forward. So that'll come back to you at your August meeting for approval, and then we'll put together a detailed schedule for the next issuance. As we've done in the past, would anticipate that we'll need to come to each of the city councils, the CRWA board, and each of the SUD boards in October to get the various approvals so that we can then close on the funds by about Thanksgiving timeframe. Again, the subsidies for this year are the same as we've had in the past, so that's good news. We have not gotten an updated debt service schedule. I expect we'll get that in the next month, and we can give that to you, but interest rates continue to look favorable here for the municipal market after we had a brief hiccup in the March-April timeframe. So all is moving forward. I'm not seeking any action today, but I'm happy to answer any questions you may have with regards to this.
Graham, is there a maximum amount of that additional $65 million that we could do this year?
That is a good question. I will need to look at that resolution to see how that is written and get back with you. I'm not aware of a maximum, but I want to verify that.
Just with the favorable forgiveness, and if we already have it already budgeted at a certain rate, even if it comes under, you know, maybe we could, it works out to our advantage if we go out for a little bit more and not, you know, not change anything with the budget wise as far as payments. But just a thought.
I will work with our financial team and bond counsel on that here in the next week and get a response back out to the board on that.
That's a good question, Blake, especially knowing the 2021 subsidy is going to be less than it is in 2020. All right. Is there anything else more on this item? All right. Let's move on to H5, consider adoption of resolution 20200727003, adopting the authority's budget for fiscal year 2020 through 2021 as recommended by the technical committee.
Board, you've seen this budget now for a couple of different times. Nothing significant has changed over the last 2 months. As noted, the technical committee reviewed it and recommended its approval at their meeting 2.5 weeks ago. I've listed in the packet some details surrounding it. I'm happy to go through those if anybody has any questions or wants to do so. Otherwise, I will just lay out and respond to any questions that you may have.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Taylor, move to approve the budget as submitted.
Tom Taggart, I'll second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item H6, consider adoption of resolution 20200727004, authorizing the executive director to execute on behalf of the authority all necessary documents to continue participation in the Texas Municipal League Intergovernmental Employee Benefits Pool, TMLIEBP, for employees' health insurance for November 2020 through October 2021.
Oops, sorry about that. I had it on mute. As we do every year, we need to approve a resolution giving me the authorization to finalize all documents for continuation with TML Health or TML IEBP for our employees' health insurance. We recently got the updated rates in for the next fiscal year for them, which runs from November 1st until October 31st, so it's slightly off of our fiscal year. It's going to be a 5% increase on the employee-only health and the employee plus family health, but no changes to the dental, vision, or basic life insurance. And so the overall blended result is a 4.4% increase based on the staffing we have, or about $106 per month. It is within what we had budgeted even before we got these numbers, so it does not impact our budget in any way, shape, or form. I've included in the packet the letter and the re-rate sheet that we got from TML Health, so you can review that. I did want to note that last year, you might recall, we actually got a reduction in costs. They gave those of us that have been members for a number of years a reduced rate, and so unfortunately they are not offering that to those with less than 10 years of experience with TML Health this time. I understand that if your entity has been with them 10 years or more, that they still did offer some sort of a discount, but we are not eligible for that this year. But it is a modest overall health increase of 4.4% for Alliance Water. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but do recommend approval of this item.
This is Houston. I recommend adoption of resolution 2020-07-27-004.
Second, Mike Taylor.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
I do have one quick question. When was the last time we compared other insurance rates?
It has been several years now, Ms. Shiel. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, not a problem. Okay. I was just curious. I think we maybe for next year may need to just have that in our book to say, hey, due diligence, we did compare, and then for maybe next year. But thank you.
Sure, we can do that, and if the board would like, I think that'd be an activity that we could run through the administrative committee. to I can help pull that data and then and share that with them and make a recommendation then from there back to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And moving on to item H7. Consider adoption of resolution 2020072705, amending the authority's consultant review policy.
Okay, so at the last board meeting, we discussed and you delegated the primary responsibility of reviewing our consultants that are contracted on an annual basis to the administrative committee. With the allowance that any board member that wishes to participate in those reviews be given the opportunity to fill out a review form and participate. And so what I've done is we had a fairly simple consultant review policy before, and all I've done is redlined and provide a redlined and clean version, updating that policy that would reflect those changes so that I would continue to develop the review forms, would then send those out to the entire board, and anybody that would wish to participate on the board along with the admin committee members would receive those, discuss, and then make a recommendation whether to continue to stay under contract with those different firms with the authority board. So it's still a relatively, I think, direct process to follow. The red lines only add in the administrative committee and remove the executive committee in many places, and then just ensure that any of the board members have the ability to participate. So, again, there's clean and red line versions in your packet, and I'll be happy to answer any questions should you have any.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Taylor, move to approve the resolution as presented.
Mr. Romo, second.
Thank you very much. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
I guess the only question I would have is basically a definitional one. Does this include, does this process also cover the awards for construction of bidding that comes in?
It does not. This only includes our consultants that are on annual contracts with the authority. So anything that we do as a one standalone bidding project, those would be reviewed and analyzed by the consultant. And in terms of those where we're doing competitive seal proposals, we have a small group that meets, 3 to 5 of us that get together and review and score those and then make recommendations back to the board. So those would go not through the admin committee. That would be separate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And with that, we'll move on to item I, board member items or future agenda items. Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item J, executive session. And let's see, we will, I will read and then we will we'll have the other phone number to call in. Item J1, executive session pursuant to government code, section 551071, consultation with attorney and or section 551072, real property relations regarding water supply partnership options, groundwater leases, acquisition of real property for water supply project purposes. And I believe everyone has the alternative call-in number and conference ID. If not, please speak up. And are there any additional people that would like permission to be in the executive session? All right.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like for Ryan Soa. Mr. Chairman, I'd like for Ryan Soa and Jason Beamer both to be allowed to be in that.
Is this the phone number and the email underneath the Microsoft Teams meeting notation?
It was an email, Mayor, that I sent about 2:30 this afternoon. So it had two different Teams meetings. It had one for the regular board meeting. It had one for executive session.
I got it.
All right.
Okay.
If everyone is prepared, then Graham, are you ready for us to all hang up on this line and go into the other line?
We should be good to go.
All right. I'll see all y'all there. And we'll be back here once the executive session is complete.
Okay. I guess before we officially come back, let me do a quick roll call and see if we're missing anybody. Mayor Houston, I see you're here. Mr. Taylor, I believe I saw. Mr. Lillibridge is here. Mr. Neffendorf, I see. Councilmember Rockymore, I think I saw. Yep, there we go. Mr. Ramos is here, I believe. Berto, are you in? Yep, there you are.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Graham.
James Earp is here. Mr. Taggart's here. Chairman Betts is here. Ms. Shield, you here?
Here, yes.
Great. Mr. Clack, I see you. And Mr. Allen, I believe I saw. Good. Yes. So everybody made it back. Thank you very much for working through that so easily. I believe we're ready to return, Mr. Chairman, when you're ready.
All right. Thank you. Welcome back. Item J2, action from executive session on the following matters: A, water supply partnership options; B, groundwater leases; C, acquisition of real property for water supply project purposes; D, consideration of resolution 20200727006, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisitions of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 11.916 acres situated in the Ambrose-Tinney survey. Abstract number 26 and the Isaac Campbell Survey, abstract number 79, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Taylor, so moved.
Second, Tom Taggart.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item E, consideration of resolution 20200727007, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisitions of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 1.459 acres situated in the John A. Neal Survey, abstract number 20, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Tom Taggart, I'll move approval.
Mike Taylor, second.
Thank you. It is moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item F, consideration of resolution 20200727008, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisitions of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 1.725 acres situated in the James George Survey, abstract number 9, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Mike Taylor, so moved.
Tracy Shields, second.
Thank you. It is moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item G, consideration of resolution 20200727009, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisitions of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 4.232 acres situated in the Moses Gage Survey, abstract number 8, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Mike Taylor, second.
Thank you. It was moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item H, consideration of resolution 20200727010, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisitions of an access easement totaling 0.793 acres situated in the James George Survey, abstract number 9, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Lily Bruce, so moved.
Mike Taylor, second.
Thank you. Who made the motion on that?
Moved in second.
I'm sorry. I missed the motion on that one. Who made the motion?
Brian Lillibridge.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item I, consideration of resolution 20200727001, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisitions of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 3.516 acres situated in the John H. Fitch Survey, abstract number 108, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
This is Pat Allen. So moved.
Mike Taylor, second.
All right. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Thank you. All those in favor? Please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And finally, on to item J, consideration of resolution 20200727012, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing the use of eminent domain to condemn, if necessary, a temporary construction easement over a 30-foot strip of land totaling 1.2 acres, as fully described in the attached exhibit X1, being out of a call 26.827 acre tract conveyed to Home Living Hospitality Limited and recorded in volume 5159, page 659 of the official public records of Hays County, Texas, for the public use and purpose of a construction of a water line.
Mike Taylor, so moved.
This is Pat Allen, second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And moving on to item K, adjournment.
Houston, motion to adjourn.
Taylor, second.
Thank you very much. It is moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
All before we adjourn, please say aye. Graham.
Yes. Yes, Graham.
I just want to thank you all for being flexible to move this meeting back to a Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock to allow me to deal with what I need to do last week. So thank you very much for being so flexible and working with me. I appreciate that.
Not a problem, Graham. We're glad you're doing better and glad you're able to get it done. And by the way, I'm not sure we'll be able to do it, but miss seeing you guys every month.
Yeah.
Well, if you quit calling in on your phone, you could see us right now.
I gotcha.
Yeah, but then you see the dog bouncing around trying to chase the squirrels. It'd be distracting, I promise.
Well, for the record, James looks the same.
Touché. You're not wrong.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a good one. Stay safe. Talk to you later.